Book of Genesis, chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, reading from verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. And the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark, they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. We have been looking at the lead up of events immediately prior to the flood. And perhaps some have thought that I have gone into a lot of unnecessary detail of the pre-flood society. And I know that speaking generally, preachers skip most of this and major on the flood itself. And whilst the story of Noah is a fascinating, captivating thing, yet never must one lose sight of that which occasioned this great judgment. For it's only against this backcloth we hold these matters in correct perspective and see them in their true light. The flood is the greatest catastrophe that the world has ever known nor ever will know until the final judgment which looms ahead of this world. It was a terrible thing. It was world embracing. The very structure of the planet was affected. The land and seas were completely altered by it. The rocks, the mountains, the ocean beds, the very landscape which we look upon in our day and generation give lasting evidence. Indeed, they bear the scars of this awful tragedy. The Bible gives more detail, and devotes more space to the flood even than it does to creation and the fall. The geologist, he has great problems concerning the earth's strata. The presence of fossils, skeletons and bones of both men and animals, deeply embedded in rock formation. They're there all right. We've all seen them, no doubt. The deep ravines, gorged out in varying parts of the world. The abrupt mountain ranges. The equally contrasting forms of the ocean bed. Even the weird forms of granite, which we can see on our local Dartmoor. Massive boulders which seem to have been forced up from the bowels of the earth. And there they sit, perched one upon the other. Oh, it's all the result of ancient volcanic eruptions and natural erosion over hundreds of millions of years. So they tell us, is it? Ah, no, says the liberal evangelical. We must go careful here, or we shall be branded Darwinian, or something worse. And so we'll fall back upon the inventions of Pember and Schofield. We looked at this when we were studying creation. I said it would come up again when we came to the flood. What do we read in Genesis 1, verse 1? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It's easy, say these men. Here it is. God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1, verse 1. Then, Genesis 1 and verse 2, and the earth became without form and void. Here's your millions of years. The geologists are right. God created the heavens and the earth, full stop. And then the earth became without form and void. You see, Genesis 1, verse 1 records a pre-Adamic creation which was swept away by a divine judgment, and so the earth became without form and void. That accounts for all the skeletons found deep below the earth's surface. Here is found the reason for the obvious great turbulence in the strata of this planet. It happened between Genesis 1 verses 1 and 2. I give you the note of Dr. Schofield upon this very thing in Genesis 1 verse 1. This is what he says. There is clear indication that the earth had undergone a cataclysmic change as the result of a divine judgment. The face of the earth bears everywhere the marks of such a catastrophe. And there are not wanting intimations which connect it with a previous testing and a fall of angels. All this, says he and Pember and many others, all this took place before creation as we know it, with the human race and so on. That is the human race which descended from Adam goes back far beyond Adam. So say these so-called Bible expositors. Beloved, I make no apology for saying this. This is as big a load of rubbish as ever was Darwin's. Indeed, I regard it as another gospel. The Word of God clearly states that sin, with its consequent death, came to this planet through Adam. Not some other race of humans or angels who lived in a creation before him. It's outside of the covers of Holy Scripture. And all the queries and all the problems with which the geologist is faced are not answered by a pre-Adamic creation going back millions of years to some great cataclysm. No, no. The answer is found here in the flood. And as for the millions of years, well, they just do not exist. It is but theory and can only be rightly described in the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to Timothy, profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. The facts as given to us by a God who cannot lie are as we have seen them over the past months. A simple and easy to follow record of events which we accept by faith, knowing by whom they are revealed. And now we arrive at a period in human history, some 1600 years or thereabouts, it could be more, thereabouts after the creation, where the whole earth is now corrupt and vile. The sentence of total destruction has already been pronounced by the Creator, with the exception of one household. An amazing box-like barge has been designed by God himself and has been in the course of construction for many a long year. Now it is complete. Fodder and food has been put into storage in that craft to keep alive men and beast. 120 years extension of life was given to those monsters of sin. This was done in the patience, long-suffering, and mercy of God. In spite of it all, he says, yet his days shall be 120 years. And this brings us to our chapter this evening, chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Verse 8, of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. Wonderful sight. As a child, this story captured my imagination. I used to think of Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, these four men, dogging up the sheep and cattle, picking out the ewes and the rams, being brought up in this environment, one understood it all. Selecting the heifers and the bulls, lassoing elephants, trapping tigers. And the almost impossible to me, the almost impossible job of catching the monkeys. But no, friends, it was not like that. The hand of a sovereign creator controlled the whole operation from start to finish. It was all of his ordination, both the destruction of all flesh and also the preservation of the remnant. Miracle is stamped upon the whole thing. When God said, "Come into the ark," seven of every kind of clean beast came, male and female, and two of the unclean. That to me in itself is most significant. How did Noah know anything about clean and unclean beasts? Again, how this undermines and shatters at the very foundation this dispensational, sectionalized belief. How did Noah know anything about clean or unclean? The Mosaic economy was not in existence. Nevertheless, this is how they came. What a procession. Seven cattle, three heifers and four bulls. Seven sheep, three ewes, four rams. Two pigs, but one sow and one boar. In they file. In scamper two cats, two dogs. Two ungainly camels, they lumber across and through the door. Two tigers. My. Now there'll be trouble. Oh no, there wasn't. They quietly enter. Two kangaroos. They leap up. They look. And in they go. King of the forest, the lion and the lioness, animals of tremendous majesty. They step over the threshold into the ark, and all the time the birds are hovering in the heavens. Seven swallows dart in, you hardly see them, going unnoticed, but they're in. Seven sparrows. A group of owls blink in the sunlight. Seven of them. They quickly get inside. They select a dark corner. Somewhere. In that structure. Yes, friends. Miracle. Noah watches. Last week we saw that by faith he moved with fear concerning things not seen as yet. Now he does see. God's word to him was absolutely true. It was all happening before his eyes. Beloved, our God does not ask us to believe fiction. Our faith is based upon a sure word of prophecy. as was Noah's. God never deceives man. But more than this, not only did Noah and his house witness this amazing cavalcade, so also did the antediluvians. Oh, for 120 years, Noah had not only been engaged in the construction work of this great craft, but says our New Testament, he was a preacher of righteousness. They not only saw what this man was doing, but they were told the reason. But neither the 120 years witness, nor the visible evidence now before them, turned a single man to repentance. Now the last member of the brute creation, even to the humble moth, was in. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Noah, come. Your turn. What a moment. He takes his last look. The old homestead. The picturesque landscape. The familiar faces. Yes, and a world of sin. And then he enters. Every fowl to be preserved is in. Every animal to be delivered is in. Every insect to be kept from destruction is in. Every man and woman to be saved is in. And states verse 16, the Lord shut him in. 7 days elapsed. And then, friends, the same hand that closed the door stretched out and opened the windows of heaven, reached down and pulled up the sluice gates of the deep. The voice of God was heard in thundering judgment, commanding the tides to break their bounds, to know no ebb, but to sweep on and on and on and on. The atmosphere to release its torrents unrelentingly and unceasingly. The fountains of the great deep were divinely ordered to break up. The ocean beds were shattered. The bowels of the earth were torn asunder. There issued forth those burning explosive gases, volcanic lava, as eruption after eruption took place. Great mountains were pushed up here. Vast canyons were ripped out there. Literally, turning the strata of this planet inside out. Oh, I say again, Whitcomb and Morris's book, The Genesis Flood, is a must. Read it, beloved. Some parts of the earth were instantly frozen. Some immediately reduced to carbon. Flesh of both man and beast became fossilized, buried, engulfed in this gigantic catastrophe until the whole world was swallowed up in a sea which knew no shore, an ocean without a headland. Universal judgment. And away there on this shoreless sea is a structure which had outridden it all. She She rides in solitary majesty upon a planet completely underwater. The only moving and living thing upon a boundless ocean of death. This craft was impregnable. All outside had perished. All inside preserved. Why? Because it was all according to the word of the Lord. Now, in conclusion, I must make the current application. Remember the examination which we have made over the weeks, and this is the vital backcloth. Over the weeks, what have we seen? The earth filled with lust and violence. And then the people of God, the Sethites, in that situation, they too apostatized. And they went the same way. And one said that when this happens and the salt loses its savor, corruption is rapid and judgment is swift and sure. So says the Savior, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah went into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The second advent, the final judgment. Beloved, it is my personal belief that this world is reaching its limit. We live in a sin-benighted age. This planet, oh, it's not just a section of it now, it's universal, is a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. It has all the marks of the pre-flood era upon it. Make no mistake about it. Lust and violence are the hallmark of today's society. The creation institution of the Sabbath is well nigh extinct. Men no longer call upon the name of the Lord. It's as it was. Marriage rapidly being ignored as men take to themselves women whom they please. The spirit of the age, too, is in the church. Apostasy can be written over her walls. And Ichabod over her doors. The day of retribution is at hand. God's salvation for this age is not an ark of gopher wood, but a person. He is the Son of God who became man. He lived, he died vicariously. And like the ark of Genesis chapter 7, he passed through all the judgment. The ark went through and was exposed to it all. So was Christ, our ark. He passed through all the judgment. The full fury of divine wrath fell upon him. And although he knew its full exposure, yet he came through victoriously, triumphing over all, rode with divine majesty through the whole of the storm, and came out of death triumphant. Friends, every sinner sheltering in Christ comes through this approaching judgment, just as Noah did through the flood, comes through absolutely safe, preserved in him, just as Noah was in the ark. "He that believeth in me," said the Savior, "shall never perish." Christ is the only Savior, the only refuge. But let no one ever forget that that door which shut Noah in shut the world out. And once that door was closed, it was closed upon them forever. The men of that bygone day, they mocked at God's provision. They mocked at Noah's preaching. So it is today. Knowing this, says Peter in his second epistle, chapter 3, and verse 3, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? Where's the future judgment? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Of this they willingly are ignorant. But by the word of God, the heavens were of old, standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, it perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now," the pre-floods, the post-flood society, "the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word that commanded the fountains of the deep to be broken up, by that same word, they're kept in store, reserved not unto a flood, but reserved unto fire against the day of judgment." God gave 120 years of faithful preaching, a time of long suffering. Then he called in his messenger. His work was done. The witness was finalized. "Come, Noah, it's all over." He called in his messenger and he closed the door. Oh, we call upon slumbering souls in our day to awake, lest they sleep the sleep of eternal death, lest the Son of God's grace forever sets upon them, the warmth of his love and grace sets upon their unrepenting hearts forever, and we be forced to bid them an eternal goodbye, abandoning them to the blackness of darkness forever. May God use this message to the eternal blessing of many. Amen. 286. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. O receive my soul at last. 286. Our God, we commit thy word to thee. Use it as thou dost see fit in thy sovereign purposes. Dismiss us now and go with us to our homes. Undertake for each family circle in the variety of their needs, be they spiritual, physical, or material. Commend thy blessing upon every household, we pray. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.